Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13, if you'll stand, we'll begin to read in verse number 1 and read through verse 13 for our message tonight. The Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Now, I want us to look at verse number 13 tonight for just a moment at the command and commission of the Lord through his preacher here in Hebrews to Christians. Now, I realize this was Hebrew Christians, but may I say to you that Hebrew Christians had to get saved the same way as Gentile Christians. And the middle wall of partition has been broken down. So the requirements of the Hebrew Christian is no different than the requirements of the Gentile Christian. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. And he said, "Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Now, what the Lord is doing here, what the Bible is doing, and the writer of Hebrews is doing, is letting us know that the priest that offered the sin offering had no part in that sacrifice. That is, they could not partake of it. In some of the sacrifices that were given, the priests got part of it as their livelihood. They would eat it. But the sin offering was totally burnt up. And the priest that offered it got none of the meat for himself. And he says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." That Jesus suffered outside of the city of Jerusalem. He didn't suffer in the temple. He suffered outside of the city of Jerusalem, outside of the temple. And he said, "Now let us go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." I want to talk about the statement there, going forth outside the camp. Going forth outside the camp. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I bring this message that you might stir our hearts and help us to realize it's so easy to get comfortable in the church and be satisfied with only what we do inside the boundaries of our local church. But help us to realize the Lord's work is more than just what can be done in a local church ministry, that local churches are to go outside of their own ministry into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now help me tonight to say some things that would cause us to think about our own life and our own service and what we're doing for Jesus Christ through the ministry of this church, but outside the boundaries of our walls. Now, Lord, I need your help. Strengthen me. Speak through me. Thank you for our people. Lord, I'd rather pastor this people than any people on this earth. I believe this is your perfect will for my life at this time in my life. And I thank you for them. I thank you for the privilege of allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk. Now speak to our hearts. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Help us. And we'll thank you for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians. These are Hebrews that have been born again. But that's about all you could say for them. They were saved, but not grounded in Christianity. In fact, they remind me of some people I know of in Trinity. They got saved, and they're content to be saved, and they're not willing to go any further in their Christian life and Christian growth. So the book of Hebrews is to establish them in their faith and let them know that what they have in Christ Jesus is far greater than any of the patterns, the types, and the pictures set forth in the Old Testament. Chapter 13 is the conclusion of the epistle to the Hebrews. And the closing chapter of this epistle is made up almost entirely of little short exhortations to these Christians, encouraging them to be faithful to do certain and various practical duties that are the responsibility of every Christian. For instance, in verse number 1, he talks about brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. It is our responsibility to love our Christian brother. And we can't love God and not love our brother. And then in verse number 2, he tells us that we're to be hospitable. We're to be hospitable. That is, we're to show kindness and hospitality to those of our own kind and those who are strangers, never knowing when we might be entertaining angels unaware. Then we're to be sympathetic with those in bonds, those that are persecuted or imprisoned. For instance, Joshua and Caleb Thompson are brothers in Christ. And though they spanked a boy and did it beyond what they should have, the sentence was beyond what they should have gotten. And so we're to be sympathetic to those in bonds and those who are persecuted. And then verse number 4 talks about marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but talks about whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, and he's teaching them the importance as Christians to have fidelity, purity, and honesty in our marriage relationship. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 talks about contentment. Be content in whatsoever state you're in. Not jealous of others, not greedy, but being content. And then, now, the Bible definition of contentment does not mean to be lazy and be a sluggard. It means to be faithful serving God and don't spend your time expecting what you should not have, but be content where you are and continue to learn and grow that God might prosper you and bless you. And then in verse number 7 and 8, he talks about submission to those in authority over us. We're to be respectful. If you're not respectful to those in authority, whether it be the policeman or the governor or the mayor or your mom and dad or the Sunday school teacher or the preacher, you're in for a hard, hard row in life. Plus, you're not going to have God's help and blessings on your life. And then he tells us in verse 19 and 15 that every Christian ought to be stable in doctrine. You ought to know what you believe. You ought not be blown back and forth by every little problem or every little new twist or new thought that comes along. It's not important to know what everybody else believes, and it's not important to know what all the cults teach, but you ought to know what the Bible teaches concerning the doctrines of our faith. You ought to know what you believe. If you know what you believe, you're not going to be messed up with what somebody else believes that's heresy and that's false. So, he talks about stability in doctrine. Verse 16 talks about benevolence. Verse 17, obedience to those entrusted with offices and position. And then the epistle closes with a benediction. Like so many today in our churches, these Christians were immature. They were saved, but they were being swept back and forth by every false doctrine. And this resulted in their instability and their unfaithfulness. At best, they were satisfied just being saved and church members, and they allowed their entire Christian endeavor to be inside of that little boundary. Paul exhorts them to go and grow outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing Christ's reproach. Now first of all tonight, I want you to consider why Christians are content to remain inside their camp or local church. I'm talking about Christians that come and take what you give and do nothing or very little to contribute to the ministry. May I say to you that some come and stay in the church and are content to sit in the church because they're comfortable inside the camp. They're comfortable inside of the church ministry. They can be easy, sir, Christians. And I'm sad to tell you, there's preachers like that too. There's teachers like that. They don't go out and make a visit. They don't visit hospitals. They don't try to win others. They don't reach out. They just come to church, and whatever comes, that's all they minister to here at church. It's a comfort zone. They don't have to put up with unruly teenagers. They don't give up any of their personal time. All they have to do is eat, drink, and be merry as they ignore the will of God for their Christian life. They're comfortable inside the church. I've made it my business to try to make those who come and sit with good health and ability, doing nothing to be uncomfortable. Now, I think there's a time when people get to a place in their life as senior saints where they're not able to go out as younger people can. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those with strength and vitality and energy and time. And they're content to confine their Christianity to a church pew. When there's a class that could be taught, a bus that could be run, a work that could be done for Jesus Christ, then I think they're content to stay inside the camp or the local church because there's security there. They don't have to face the ridicule or rejection from the unsaved and backslidden. I promise you, if you go out there, you're going to be cursed. Somebody's going to dislike you. Somebody's going to be unruly and rude and unkind to you. May I say, Jesus said we're to go outside the camp bearing his reproach. They beat him. They spit on him. They crowned him with thorns. They nailed him to a tree. They mocked him and cursed him. And we call ourselves Christians, but we don't want a Christianity where people might be unkind to us. We're to go outside the camp. Too many people stay inside because it's an area of security. inside the camp. You're bound, you're around your own kind. However, you also miss the blessings of serving in the will of God and seeing lives changed. Some Christians get busy serving in the church, but do nothing to try to fulfill the great commission of our Lord. May I suggest to you, there is no Sunday school class or bus ministry or any other ministry in the church that alleviates anyone from the responsibility of going into all the world to preach the gospel. The Great Commission is to every one of us. And if we ought to be busy serving inside the church. We ought to be busy in a bus ministry or Sunday school class. We ought to be busy in a soul winning ministry. But at the same time, we ought to be going around the world through the Suttmeyers and the other missionaries that we're sending out. We cannot do that and only get involved inside the church. Some of you, this last week, a great many of you filled out a faith promise card and said, I'm going outside the camp. I may not go to Africa, I may not can go to Germany, may not can go to Asia or Mexico or South America. But I can partner with a missionary that's going. I can go through John and Connie Hinton. I can send them and keep them on the field. As a Christian, does your conscience ever bother you if you're not going for our Lord in the church and outside the church? A man told me once that when he came to Sunday school and church and he gave his tithe, his obligation to God and others was complete. He said, preacher, what do you think about that? I think he was a fool. I think he was a fool. How foolish we are. We try to serve just enough to ease our conscience while the masses of the world are lost and on their way to hell, with no one to tell them the gospel story. The very first requirement. I heard people say, well, I'm not going to get involved in the bus ministry because I have to give up part of my Sundays. Hey, last time I checked, it was called the Lord's Day, not your day. The very first requirement for following Jesus is self-denial. Giving up me, mine. Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now I chose that. It's stated three different times in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Synoptic Gospels. I chose this because here it's a little bit different. In the other places it says he called his disciples. Now you and I know there's a difference between disciples and apostles. There are many disciples, followers of Christ. There were only a certain number of the apostles. But here in Mark he called the people unto him with his disciples also. So it's not just for the preacher. For the people too. We're going to follow Jesus, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Notice what is found outside the camp when obeying our Lord. First of all, you're going to discover Jesus is outside the camp. You want to know when you're closest to God, I promise you, it's not sitting in a church pew rebelling against the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heartstrings. You want to know where you're going to fit, be closest in your relationship to Jesus? When you're out there serving Him. When you're out there trying to win that soul. When you're out there trying to help that family. When you're out there trying to reach that boy or girl. Yes, what are you going to find outside the camp? Surprise, surprise, you're going to find Jesus. Jesus doesn't live in the church house. He is interested in lost souls. You'll find Jesus seeking to save that which was lost. Jesus suffered and died outside the walls of Jerusalem. He did not die on the cross inside the temple that was built to picture and point to Christ. He was outside the walls. The people for whom Jesus died, you'll find outside the walls. He didn't die for the good in the church house. He died for the sinner. He died for the needy. He's died for those outside the camp, and He wants us to go outside the camp. And when we go outside the camp, we'll find Jesus, but we'll also find those for whom He died. Nowhere does He tell the unsaved to come to church and get saved. However, He tells the saved inside the church or camp to go outside the camp into all the world and seek the lost. Tell you something else you'll find outside the camp. The fulfillment of the Great Commission. The fulfillment of the Great Commission requires us to go outside the camp. You can't even fulfill the first part of Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem without going outside the camp. You'll find the church and the fulfillment of the perfect will of God for your life outside the camp. Now you say, well, God's called me to teach a class. Well, wonderful, but you can't teach a class standing in a classroom. The number one responsibility of that teacher is to go out to where the boys and girls are, the men and women are. If all you do is teach them when they come, you're never going to be much of a teacher. If all you do preach to those that come, you're never going to be much of a minister. You cannot build a Sunday school class and never go outside the church house. Some of you are trying, but you're failing. And if your class is growing, it's growing because somebody else is bringing in some adults with people that fit in your class. You can't build a bus route without going outside the camp. And may I say to you, if you're trying to build a bus route and you only visit those regular riders, your bus is going down in number. You've got to continue to go beyond the regular riders or you're not going to build a bus route. We cannot win the lost without going outside the camp. You cannot minister to the flock without going outside the camp. Pastors can't pastor, deacons can't deek, Christians can't minister without going outside the camp. Now we've tried to condition everybody in America that you come to the church house for it. But the people who need the gospel are not going to come to the church house for it. You and I who are saved may come to the church house because we know we're to meet together and there we get fed and there we get taught and there we're strengthened and there we have fellowship. But oh my soul, if we're going to do what we ought to do, we've got to go outside the camp. Come to church to be fed. Come to church to be strengthened. Come to church to get right. Come to church for fellowship. Come to church to give and go out with the gospel to reach a world that's dying and going to hell. There's some very important reasons why every Christian and church member should go outside the camp to minister for Christ. Our missionary endeavor requires us to go outside the camp. In order to fulfill the will of God for his life, Paul had to leave Antioch. Believers left Jerusalem to spread the gospel in Acts 8:4. Philip left Samaria to win the Ethiopian to Christ. The perfect will of God does not consist only inside of this building. If we're going to do the will of God as God would have us do it as Christians. Yes, we come. Yes, we're to be faithful. But yes, we're to leave here to serve Him in a world that's going to hell. Out there's where the light needs to shine. Out there's where salt needs to be salty. Out there is where the witness counts among those that are going to hell and in need of a Savior. We go outside the church to be an encouragement to other pastors and Christians in other churches of like faith and practice. It's high time we should start giving thanks for other faithful pastors and churches like this church. And there are other churches like this one. And by the way, if they're not exactly like this one in every dot and tittle, doesn't mean they're heretics. We're not enemies. Can I say something else? We're not in competition with each other. You know what the Bible tells us? We're fellow laborers with Christ. One of the best things could happen to Trinity Baptist Church is that there be about 150 churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area just like this one, growing, running 1,000. It would help this church. You see, people look at us today because churches are so liberal and worldly, they look at us and think we're weird when they're the weird ones. The normal is so abnormal, subnormal, that when people trying to do what God told us to do come along, we look odd, weird. We must go outside the camp because it helps keep the church in a growing situation where God's people are witnessing, praying, and giving. One of the most exciting times in a family's life is when they go to the hospital and that family sees the birth of a baby. Oh, my soul. I've stood there and looked in that window with daddies and mothers at little old red, wrinkled faces. They'd say, oh, aren't they beautiful? It looked like a bleached out prune, you know. Shriveled up, red, wrinkled. And they were beautiful to mom and dad. And they ought to be. The most exciting thing that ought to happen in a church is when birth takes place. People are saved. Yet, can I tell you something? Newly saved Christians don't always look like Christians either. Sometimes they look wrinkled and prunish looking. Sometimes they look real worldly. But we all learn to love them. Care about them. Let me tell you, if we don't go outside the camp and keep reaching those people and bringing them in and loving those people, you know where we're destined to go? We're to go the way of the Laodicean church, where we don't even need Jesus or His Word. At best, just lukewarm. We say we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that we're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We must be busy going outside the camp with the gospel of Christ because Jesus is coming soon. The orders He left for us is to occupy till He comes. That word occupy doesn't mean to sit in the pew and hold the fort. It means keep doing my business till I come. That's exactly what that word, that phrase means. Occupy till I come. Keep doing my business till I come. And His business is not just in the church, it's outside the church as well. And may I say to you, those who try to tell you that Christianity should be confined to Sundays and inside the church building are a bunch of hellions and secularists and atheists and unbelievers and Bible haters and Christian haters. Jesus told us to go outside the camp. We cannot faithfully do God's business and be content to sit in our church pews without ever going outside the camp. Our prayers ought to go outside the camp. Our soul winning should take us outside the camp. Our bus routes and Sunday school classes ought to take us to go outside the camp. Our missions ministry ought to take us outside the camp. It's soon gonna all be over. And when Jesus comes, it'll be too late to go outside the camp then. Our ministry here at Trinity Baptist Church is great, but the opportunities are greater than what we're claiming and we're accomplishing today. There are more missionaries to be sent out. There are more souls to be reached with the gospel. There are more bus routes to be started. There are more buses to be filled. There's more songs to be written. More classes to be started and people to be taught. There are more churches to be established and preachers to be trained. We can't do it sitting here in a church pew. We've got to go outside the camp. We cannot do the will of God and settle down in our comfort zone, in our church, and in our pew. We must yield our life to the will of God and be willing to go with Christ outside the camp to a needy world. And I want to just leave this message tonight with this thought, this question. Are you going outside the camp today? Or are you settled down in your comfort zone and you're ignoring the command of Christ and the great need for which He died that's outside the camp? For every one person we get to come to church that are in need of Christ, that's in need of Christ, there are thousands outside the camp that are in need of Christ. We think we've done our duty when we reach the one, when the harvest fields are white and the laborers are few. Didn't say the Christians are few. Where are the Christians? Too often in the pew. But the greatest work, the harvest, is outside the camp. Let us come to be taught. Let us come to be strengthened. Let us come to be preached to. Let us come to seek the will of God. And then let us go outside the camp with the gospel and perform what God has given us to do for Him. Father, we love You and we believe in the local church with all our heart. We do not believe in the para-church organizations, those outside the church. Lord, we read about them and hear them on the news, buying $20 million airplanes.